This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Hey, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Shoot, I'm sitting here drinking my favorite gin with one of my best friends.
Oodles!
I mean... smoking a pipe that was a gift from a good friend. And, man, yeah, I'm just... I don't know if I could be happier.
Hey, you know, speaking... I mean, like, you know, the gin that you are enjoying, I'm sitting here having a couple of roses, which is appropriate given the conversation.
I think there's four, right? Two couple.
All four roses. Yeah. That's right. But the beverage that we are enjoying actually were kind of surprises.
Yeah, we got to the shop this evening. You know, it's funny, Mondays are kind of my long day. And so I come early in the morning, early by which early, I mean, you know, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. And, early for
and
John
then, right, right. And then I work for several hours and then I go home and kind of relax, prep for the podcast a little bit and, you know, do some chores, feed the dog, that kind of thing. But then I come back and, you know, I came back for the podcast tonight and here I am looking at a big brown paper sack and it said,
oh, yeah.
From Peter with love.
Oh, and we're feeling the love.
And we're feeling the love because the love was both of our favorite liquors. So we've got is Four Roses your favorite liquor? I know it's up there.
Well, Buffalo Trace, yeah. But Buffalo Trace is hard to come by.
It's hard to get sometimes.
I've said before, but like, you know, when I can't get Buffalo Trace, right. The Four Roses single barrel, I am definitely a fan.
The single barrel Four Roses is great. Yeah. And the guys next door, they at our liquor store, which is right next to the Squire, had several batches of Four Roses. They do this every year. They pick out the barrels themselves and then you know, go up
Ooh.
There and you know, get to decide which kind of flavorings they want and all this type of thing. And so I believe this is from their batch that actually has a pretty high alcohol content. I want to say...
Oh, that's my favorite kind.
Yeah, I want to say it's like 110, 112 proof, something like that. It's pretty potent stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's 40... What is that?
49.5.
Oh, no.
Wait. It says 49-5. I think that's the number of
yeah,
the barrel.
Yeah, so that's 100 proof.
Okay.
That's 100 proof whiskey right there. So it's going to be pretty strong. And of course, I have my beautiful Boodles, which I'm just tickled about.
Now, do you put poodles in your Boodles?
I do not, but you do, right?
No. I'm more a fan of Boodles than I am of poodles, but I would not take Boodles of either.
What, you wouldn't take oodles of poodles?
I don't think I'd know. No, sir. I do love
poodles. Don't shed, but oodles, boodles will make you shed.
Well, speaking of shedding and the poodles and the oodles, did you know that last week there was a day that was Bring Your Dog to Work Day?
No.
Okay, so what's the deal about this?
Wait, I didn't bring Penny to work at all last week.
Well, see, this is the thing. I actually had, on that exact day, I could have brought Isley, my dog, to work, but I didn't know this until I turned on Twitter and saw that it was trending. I'm curious as to whether or not these days are actual days, or if someone just gets on there and just makes it a hashtag, and then it's just declared that day.
Can't we make it like Bring Your Pipe to Work Day?
Oh,
Well, I mean, for me, that's literally every single day. But
we got International Pipe Smoking Day.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think like, okay, throw us a bone. You've outlawed smoking literally everywhere. They've taken smoking away from us in all these locations. Even at my alma mater, Mississippi State, it has this huge drill field.
At State?
At State, you know, the drill field is, it was a former military university, and so the drill field is where the, you know, Corps of Cadets would parade around, all this stuff. But it's a huge field. Literally, you can be in a corner of that field around, you know, zero people. And they won't even let you smoke on the field anymore.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. So at least give us one day, you know, where you can bring your pipe to bring your pipe to work.
I like that. I don't know. It's hashtag Bring Your Pipe to Work Day. We can make that a thing. We can make that a thing.
If anyone could,
all we have to do is figure out that 1 hour where Twitter is the most like nothing's happening, and then boom, we pounce. That's what you got to do,
and that's it. And then, you know, just ask for forgiveness afterwards.
Hey, speaking of other events that happened last week, Mississippi Comic Con. All right, so
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I'm telling
you,
man,
you went.
I did go.
Yeah, what was it? What was it like?
So I've mentioned this last year, but every single year this thing continues to grow. I am not, you know, you might not know this about me, you might suspect otherwise, but the reality is I'm not a big like comic convention person.
That's bullcrap.
No, I'm really not. I love.
There's no way that's true.
I love superheroes. I'm really? Always impressed by the cosplay. If I had the body for it, I would totally, you know, be a costume. Otherwise, I look like if Spider-Man let himself go in some of that spandex. You know,
no, yeah.
you don't want to do that. But
you have the body for it. You just got to pick the right character.
Well, there it is. You know. Not many.
A really
high stature.
Yeah,
and,
a really small, hairy one. Yeah.
Well, Wolverine could pass. But here's the thing. So every single year, this thing has continued to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm telling you, man, actually, you know, you might be able to clean up with some church wardens with this crowd.
You think
in
so?
Particular. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe put a squire booth out there and have some church wardens.
I think you'd clean up. But no, I've gone to this every single year, not necessarily as a you know, person going per se, but as a speaker. You know, they've had
really?
Me do a panel every single year.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so last year it was kind of a DC TV talk because, of course, you know, one of my other shows is the Flash TV Talk podcast. This year we did a panel on explaining time travel. In
okay.
television.
Okay.
And so it was...
Really? And you sat on this panel?
I did. I
What exactly qualifies you for this?
So the Flash television series deals a lot with time travel, and so that was kind of the, you know, the thing that qualifies
me. Like, did you brush up on your quantum physics, like, before you went in?
Yeah, no. So here's what happened. The funny thing is, every single time I've done it, like, you know, a couple people, you know, you come in, you have, like, 15 people that show up for the panel, and by the time you're
right.
done, you got, like, the one guy who just feels too bad because he's the last guy in the room. He leaves and you just talk to
yeah.
but this year we had a pretty solid group, man. We had a big room that was almost full, and most of the people actually stuck through it, and it was mostly me drawing up on the board with a bunch of, like, you know, trying to draw the Terminator and, you know, Back to the Future and everything else, and it was a lot of fun.
That's great.
But I'm telling you,
that's
man,
great.
the Comic-Con crowd, I mean, y'all, you know,
it's got to be a good turnout.
I'm sure the listeners, there are listeners right now who do the convention thing.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious to hear their validation. I think that pipes, specifically church wardens in particular,
yeah.
would clean up. Like,
would
you'd
go,
clean
would
up.
Go well. Well, and, you know, we've gotten, every year historically, we've done a booth at our local Celtic Fest, which is kind of if a Renaissance fair
yeah.
met like a redneck Mississippi, like pasture beer fest. You know what I mean? Like
right.
it's kind of that type thing, you know. and we always, you know, take a bunch of church wardens out there and a few, you know, a few of our more premium pipes, and then and sell them. But what's interesting is we've gotten a lot of feedback from that. We've gotten a lot of regular customers that have become, you know, committed pipe smokers because of that, and have, you know, found other shops, and have really gotten into the industry. So it's kind of fun to find, you know, little niches like that, you know, pipe folks can kind of connect with.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Hey, pipe folks have really been connecting with last week's episode.
Yeah, man, isn't that funny? Dude, I got on here and I just felt like almost shameful when we got done with the episode because I was just rolling. I mean, it kind of was like confession time for the tobacconist, you know?
Right, right. We should have busted out the parson's
place. We should have. By the way, Father Keith, the parson himself was in today.
Oh,
him,
was he really?
Him and my friend James, who Father Keith is the priest at my little Anglican church, and my friend James, who lives in Cato, Mississippi, a little Baptist preacher, and man, they were just having a rich conversation today. Today was full of parsons at the Squire.
Man.
But yeah, you know, it's last week I felt like it was like confession time. It was like you know, me just having a little moment where y'all could suffer through some of my stories and just let me get it off my chest to some of my favorite people.
Well, based on the feedback, I think that suffering through is about the furthest thing that anybody felt, unless they were referenced during the stories. For the most part, you know, everything that we got.
I don't think anyone I complained about that bad would be listening to Country
Spot Radio. You never know who's listening. But no, man, the feedback was so great, and so I think that we will, you know, this may have to kick off a new series, be it Tales from the Tobacco or Stories from the Squire. I don't know that we've necessarily worked out a name yet, but several episodes down the road, this will be coming back and be a reoccurring
thing. That's hilarious, man. Well, there will be no shortage of material because something new and interesting walks through the door literally every day.
So new and interesting things going on, of course, at the Squire. You've got the new tobacco. So this was actually being discussed as I was walking through. I don't want to necessarily debut
yeah.
something.
Okay, so yeah, let me get into this a little bit. For those of you that, of course, have kept up with the shop over the past several months, you know that we've come out with a few new blends. Earlier this year, we had Tabac du Chocolat, our new chocolate blend. That name was actually a former name of one of our Squire blends about 10 years ago. And we've resurrected that blend, brought it back, but under a new recipe. And so we have that blend. We also have County Seat, which debuted earlier this year. It's a new apple tobacco. And then here,
it's very good,
yeah, very good, good tobacco. I like it a lot. Worked really, really hard on that one, particularly earlier. Just a couple of weeks ago, we came out with White Rose, which is still sitting on our counter here. It's our, it's our Yorkist blend here at the Country Squire.
Yeah, more on that in a second.
And and our favorite Yorkist blend, of course, is a honey flavor, and every purchase of that actually supports the show, which we're doing right now, and we greatly appreciate it. We've sold a bunch of that, by the way, and I can't wait at the end of the month to, you know, run the numbers and see how many ounces of that we sold. But it's been really exciting. So The intern, right? He Caleb, you know, he's the guy that works the afternoons here at the Squire. He does a lot of the shipping stuff now. And so, you know, if you get a handwritten note, a lot of times it's going to be from Caleb. And Caleb, you know, he's just a good friend, and I hired him at the shop because I trust him and love him. And he's done an outstanding job. He's just a great guy. And especially for his age, super, super mature. He's hardworking. Like, he's just a great guy. But Caleb, I'm kind of terrified that I hired Caleb, because I'm gonna be real honest. I think he's a better blender than I am.
Oh, snap.
I'm kind of being vulnerable again, like 2 weeks in a row.
Caleb, though?
Like, I think Caleb might be a better blender than I am. Bo, this is the thing.
He does turn them out pretty quick.
No, Caleb, he's always experimenting, which is great, but he comes from the coffee world.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
And so he's already real attuned to these, you know, ridiculously, like, you know, finely defined flavors and nuances and concepts, you know, regarding his palate. And so he brings that into the pipe world. And I think I don't know, man. I think he's got a real future in this. Like, I really do. But he's been just experimenting so many, you know, with so many different blends. And we're actually going to come out within the next month of two of his blends here at the Squire. So stay tuned on that. I'm really excited about that. Those are going to be Caleb Crawford Originals, which will be sold here at the Country Squire. I'm actually smoking one right now. This is a blend. I cannot wait to tell you more about it.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good.
It's great. One of them is a non-aromatic, and one of them is kind of a hybrid blend. We'll go with that. But I'm very excited about this. So anyway, just stay tuned on those.
See, I got to be careful because I overhear things that I'm not sure whether or not that's public.
I know, right?
I'm glad, but that's
a good teaser. That's a really good teaser. I will say about this non-aromatic blend, it's I think our lovers of the toasted, you know, dark Latakia leaf will be happy with it. So, very excited about that. And that's funny coming from me because I don't smoke a lot of Latakia, right?
I'm
one of those people. I'm more of a Virginia guy. I just like those grassy, hay-like flavors. And I think Caleb's done something really nice here. So I'm excited
good.
To see it. Yeah,
that's really good. Well, and more on White Rose in particular, a story to kind of share about that tragedy that occurred in the pipe world.
What happened?
Well, it's going to pertain. I have a feeling that our conversation today will kind of lead into it. You know, talking about flavors and that sort of thing,
he pick Lancaster over you?
Well, hang on now, hang on. it was far worse than that. Far worse than that. But before we dive into the meat and potatoes of this episode, man, we got some amazing new club members joining the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club.
That's great.
We got to give major shout outs.
This is awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys several. Doggone.
Coming out. This is great. All right. So first of all, this is actually a member who was already a member at the Pilgrim level has actually upgraded now to the Squire level.
And it's a she.
Sheila.
Dude, Sheila Yaunt. That's great. Man, it was a pilgrim, is now at the Squire level.
Full-fledged.
So that's great. Sheila, thank you so much. That's wonderful.
Now, you know, last week I mentioned that, you know, the names are coming in and everything, and I mentioned that, you know, sometimes I feel like people are just making up names to mess with me.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go.
At this point, they're just trying really hard to just, you know, make it hard on you.
All right, now this, look. We want to give.
Bad. I feel bad for Sheila because I think we got her name right.
I'm assuming I mispronounced it the first time around.
Yeah, but I mean, this one is. Yeah, I know how you say this name, but Bo, how do you say this name?
Welcome to the at the Squire level. Welcome to the International Pipe Club, Andrew Kaufuopuuluos.
That is ridiculous.
That is verbatim, sir. Kaufuopuuluos.
Say it again.
Populos. Kafopoulos. Kafopoulos?
You're really close.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's Kafopoulos.
Kafopoulos. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Andy, thanks so much, man. Andy Kafopoulos here from Jackson, Mississippi.
Absolutely. And then a new member as well at the Squire level.
I swear, Andy, he was like, the guy's just messing with me at this point.
And then also joined at the Squire level, big ups to Bobby Wayalters.
That would be Walters.
It is Walters.
Yeah.
Bobby Walters.
Don't butcher it just to make them feel good.
No, I got it. You know, you got a bit of initiation. It's part of
maybe,
it.
I guess that's it.
We also have two new pilgrims joining the club as well. Nicholas Sandberg.
Sandberg.
Sandberg. Although I guess with the Nicholas.
It's like Nicholas. N-I-K-L-A-S.
Like St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also Keith Michael.
Mikely?
Oh,
Michael?
I heard the question in your voice.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, regardless, Sheila, Andrew, Bobby Walters, Nicholas Sandberg, and Keith M. We are so thankful that, man, you've agreed to join the Country Squire International Pipe Club and support us here in what we're doing and talking about pipes and pipe tobacco and pipe culture every week here on the old interwebs.
I got to tell you, if y'all keep...
It's really great.
If y'all keep this up, I mean, we're just a few members away, like literally just a very, very few members away from opening up the Squire Club, the Squire's Club
the lounge. I know, you know, we had set that bar and didn't really know when we would get close to that. We kind of just threw it out there as a guesstimate. We didn't know if that would happen immediately or over time. We figured it would happen at some point.
Yeah,
we're getting close, and at some point, you know, all these amazing people that have joined us, I think we're up, you know, between, I don't know, 80 or 90 people now.
Somewhere around that. I think 85
remember.
If I'm
yeah,
not
yeah, but
mistaken.
I mean, these are we're about to have a regular interaction with each other here within probably the next few weeks if this keeps up.
Yeah, very excited. So yeah, join the club. If you go to countrysquireradio.com, you got a big bar right there that says join the club. That'll take you directly to it. And again, big thanks to those of you who have joined and welcome to the club.
That's right.
All right. So tonight we are talking casing.
We're casing the joint.
And that is not what, you know, that's not opening up your case and stuffing as much tobacco into it and then running out of the
that.
Squire. Oh, okay. So stealing from the Squire?
Yeah, no, let's not talk about that. That'll go on the next pet peeves pipe peeves episode.
That's good.
Maybe we should call it pipe peeves.
I like it.
We'll talk about it.
All right, so but no, casing, flavoring, of course, aromatics. How do those tobaccos taste so delicious?
Yeah.
You know, it's something a trick of the trade that I think the average pipe smoker might come in, they get a cherry tobacco, which is unfortunate in my opinion, but a lot of people like it, so I'm not judging. And they may not think, I wonder, are there actual cherries in this tobacco? How on earth did they make it taste like this?
It reminds me, you know, at the Chicago Pipe Show when I did that small interview with Mike McNeil, right, from McClellan.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we're talking about his award-winning blend there, the Best of Show McClellan blend that they submitted, you know, and he's talking about it, how it's vanilla, and he's describing it himself, and he's like, I mean, in that great Mike McNeil voice that, you know, we can all do, he's just like, I think it's just awful. But, you know, some people like that kind of stuff, so whatever. That was a great interview, by the way, and if you haven't listened
Absolutely.
To that episode, please go back and listen to the Chicago Pipe Show episode. But yeah, so, you know, people come in all the time and they're like, you know, how are these tobaccos flavored, man? It's just amazing. And we know you blend these tobaccos here in your shop. Gosh, we see you doing it, but how do the flavors get in there? So there's a lot of thoughts about that. Of course, you know, I think some people actually think that, you know, the tobacco is just literally kind of soaked in something, whether it be a syrup or a, you know, extract or something like that.
A lot of stewing in it kind of thing.
A lot of folks, you know, kind of imagine in their mind that maybe flavoring is sprayed to it. Some people don't know if that's something we do here in the shop or if that's something that happens elsewhere. And then you've got the people kind of like what you had mentioned, you know, to, just in passing, that actually think that, you know, a piece of, whatever the flavor is actually put in there. Like, right. am I grinding up almonds and sprinkling the almond dust in the tobacco?
Ooh.
Or, am I slicing and drying up, maybe apples or cherries or something cutting them up and putting them in there?
Or dried fruit of some sort.
Yeah, any kind of...
Small dried fruit.
Any
like dried grapes.
Are you talking about raisins? Are you talking about raisins, Bo? Let's just go ahead and get this out there.
How do they make it taste like raisins?
We're gonna have a whole series of episodes just on what makes John David drink more. So you've got these kind of questions about how are these things flavored, and a lot of flavoring is very very intense. A lot of flavoring is a lot more nuanced in pipe tobacco, and so a lot of flavor is very obvious. When you smoke or even smell something, you're like, wow, that is apricot, mm-hmm. or that is chocolate or whatever. So we just thought we'd kind of unpack and uncase that a little bit tonight. So
it's pretty good.
When you're talking about flavoring pipe tobacco, there's kind of two different types of flavoring that we're gonna discuss briefly tonight, and they both kind of serve different purposes. Although they both impart some type of flavoring to pipe tobacco,
okay,
and that is casing, of course, which we've mentioned a few times, but then also the topping process.
Those are not the same.
Casing and topping are different.
And there are
other methods too. They're actually we joke about people actually cutting, putting actual pieces of fruit or something in the pipe tobacco, but there are tobacconists that actually do that. There's a guy, Stephen Books, I believe is his name, that owns the House of Calabash in Washington, or what? It's Oregon State. And Stephen, actually, you order tobacco from him, and you might find like a rose petal,
really,
or like a piece of oregano or something like that.
Wow.
Like it's out there. Yeah, I mean, he's been doing this kind of stuff for years. I haven't smoked any of his tobacco in quite some time, but I kind of get the impression that Stephen, for his this is a guy that is legendary in the small batch blending business, and I think his personal spice cabinet at the house is just kind of his experiment room.
Interesting.
What I mean? He just kind of pulls from that, and maybe his garden as well. But
it would that be considered innovative or old school or both?
I think it'd be both.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was, probably pushing the envelope back when he started, back in probably the 50s. He's been doing this literally that long.
Wow. Yeah.
But I think nowadays, you just have so few people doing that kind of thing that, I think it'd be both. But anyway, so there are ways of flavoring tobacco in that nature, but we're going to talk about the casing and the topping process tonight.
Okay.
We'll take casing first. The casing is the subtle and the smooth tones that you get from the tobacco. That's the casing. Okay. So you've got the kind of what you're doing to the tobacco initially, as a constituent part. And then after the tobaccos are blended together in a recipe, you've got the more intense flavoring which comes, and that's going to, leave it, oh, wow, this tobacco is, it tastes like this.
Interesting. Okay.
That's going to be more of the topping route.
So let me see if I'm following you correctly.
Yeah,
here.
Sure.
So the idea is that you would not necessarily take, the individual tobacco leaves, like the one that are hanging right above us here, you
yep.
wouldn't take those and case those. It would be more those would go into the blend along
yep.
with, several other blends as well. And then that concoction would then go into the casing process.
Or into the topping process.
Or the topping process.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
So, the tobaccos, now, there are exceptions to this, but, my understanding is generally tobaccos are cased as constituent leaves, and then
okay.
are and then have a topping applied to them afterwards.
Got
so,
it. Okay.
Now I'm sure there's depending on the manufacturer, all this kind of stuff is going to change. But think of it as wow, I've got a bunch of burley here. I'm going to case this, and then once it's blended with some other stuff, we will we'll top it and go in a different direction. So the casing process, it's the most intensive process that the tobacco goes through, it once it's stripped of all its stems and tears, right? So tobacco comes off the truck. We've actually seen it before, Bo. These, big, huge bales, they come from all over the world.
It's incredible.
Different parts of the United States, but also you know, countries in places like Africa, Asia, you know, all over the place is where this premium pipe tobacco comes from. And the, you know, the stems and tears are shucked from this. It kind of goes through a whole process of things to get, you know, get a consistent leaf quality and all that stuff. And then, you know, the tobacco basically goes through this giant tube, like a big cylinder, kind of almost like a giant keg kind of thing, you know. and that's where the flavors of the through the casing process are added. So we're talking intense heat, and the flavor is typically applied through steam. So you've got a high temperature, you know, environment where, you know, tobacco is being has been treated with a flavor that it's mixed with water. The steam is then applied to the tobacco, and generally at the same time it's being turned, so that the tobacco can kind of mull over in that steam, right?
And that would be in the kegs, because this is the thing. You know, a while back, I mean, you mentioned this, but a while back we had an amazing opportunity to visit our friends at STG. It was in Atlanta. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Right outside of Atlanta.
And actually go through the process of their facility.
It was so exciting too, man. So kind of them to do that for
you. You know, I was fascinated by all of it, because you have all of this amazing machinery that exists for like this one purpose, or well, several different purposes, but ultimately to bring us like all of these different tobaccos and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember I didn't know that the process was that involved.
That complicated.
You know what I mean?
You think when it's pipe tobacco that you almost just, you know, you've got a couple of maybe old guys in there like taking the stems off the leaves and then taking the leaves and putting them in some pot with some syrup. And then, you know, they let it dry out and then they rake it up and bag it, you know. And it's just like, man, I mean, this is a very sophisticated operation in a warehouse. Kind of industrialized environment where, you know, trained professionals that have to wear, you know, safety goggles and go through all kinds of, you know, federal standards and all this stuff are putting this stuff together, particularly at a company like Lane that makes some of the most, you know, popular tobaccos in the world, certainly in America, and some of the best. And so, you know, it's fascinating to know that, wow, they had to spend, you know, like, you know, several million dollars on this one piece of equipment that only does this one piece of the process. And they have to, you know, hope that that piece of equipment gets them through 60 years of making pipe tobacco or something. I mean, it's just really amazing.
Cause they had some old school stuff. They had some very like, you know, brand new out of the box stuff. Then they had some of those like trays, everything.
Some of those pieces of equipment, you know, I mean, they were over 70 years old,
but I'm sure up to code.
They were,
of course,
and still working perfectly. They really were. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah,
it was definitely incredible.
So anyway, you've got these, you know, tobacco once it's in its more pure form, it's going, meaning it's been, you know, kind of in the quality state they want to. It's been, you know, stripped of all its stems and tears. It's going to go through this big keg where the steam is going to be mixed with some type of flavoring, and then applied to the tobacco. And so the steam allows the tobacco, as it's being tossed and turned in this environment, to kind of absorb into those leaves, right? The only thing about that, of course, you've got a really, at the end of this process, a very mushy, kind of moist, you know, just wet tobacco. And so the tobacco has to be dried out afterwards, obviously.
And at this stage in the game, we're talking like tobacco it's not in leaf form, it's in shredded form.
Generally at this point, the tobacco's been made into a certain type of cut.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. Because I'm thinking about just that spinning process. Because, you know, I mean, you've got whiskey twist and various different twist tobaccos that don't necessarily seem to have that kind of.
And again, that may change based on manufacturer.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's, again, these are all, everyone's got their own tricks of the trade. Everyone has their own, you know, secret recipe and all this kind of stuff. We're painting in broad brush strokes tonight, but,
of course.
But typically, you know, you're going to have the tobacco gotten to the point where it's in the cut, and then it goes into these, you know, goes into these big keg type things that are going to apply the flavors to them. And so the tobacco has to be dried. But, you know, when you get done with this, you've got a tobacco that has a really nice light flavoring applied to it that has been dried out. And so, you know, it is ready then for the topping. part of the stage. The point of casing, a lot of folks think of, okay, I'm going to think of casing as, you know, that's where you get some kind of real syrupy, wet tobacco, because in their mind, I think a lot of folks think the casing, it goes in this big case, and
it's like encased.
It's encased. So they're thinking, oh, it's just sitting there soaking in this stuff. And so, you know, gosh, most aromatics must be real heavily cased or something. But the point of the casing is kind of interesting. And our friend Russ Ouellette on the internet, who is just an incredible blender, has a lot of neat things to say about this process. You can look it up at your leisure. But Russ points out that, you know, casing is kind of the point of casing is kind of to take the leaf of tobacco and just kind of round off the hard edges. You're not trying to put just a real distinctive flavor on the tobacco. The casing process might involve something like molasses or aniseed, something that is maybe sugary. But the point of the casing process is not to give it its unique, distinctive flavor. The point is to make the tobacco more well-rounded. So, you know, for instance, if you took Burley right out of the ground, mm-hmm. You know, Burley is going to have kind of a, as great as it is, as much as we love Burley, it's going to have kind of a sourness to the leaf naturally.
Really?
And that's just something that a lot of folks don't know. So even in its unflavored, quote unquote, unflavored form, you know, a lot of Burleys are going to go through the casing process just to kind of round off the edges a little bit.
Interesting. Because Burley is something that
so prolific.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's kind of like a seasoning tobacco in the sense that it's maybe not the season per se, but it's a component tobacco.
That's right. It's a component of a blend. That's right.
Interesting.
So, and a lot of blends are based on Burley, you know, but Burley, it's everywhere. It's lurking in aromatics and non-aromatics alike. And you know, a lot of that Burley has been cased to some degree to just kind of round off those sharp, harsh edges. And so think of, you know, the best example I could kind of think of when I was trying to draw an analogy to this, just to explain it to our listeners, is it's almost like when you are brining a turkey. Like, okay, so you got a turkey, but you want it to be like soft and moist and just not as harsh and dry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're not really changing the flavor of it, but you got to baste that. Yeah, you're just brining it, you know, to kind of get it, you know, kind of to the consistency or the texture that you're going for.
You dunk it in salt water for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. And there's something that happens in that process that just, you know, you're not really changing the flavor of the turkey necessarily, but you're just taking those harsh edges off, if that makes sense. And every turkey needs its harsh edges taken off.
Hey, man, turkey's delicious.
Including the turkey to my left. So,
hey, so that's kind of off with his four roses, right?
No, I know. You must have a lot of hard edges because that's a healthy pour there. I'm just kidding. So that's the casing process. We'll kind of switch gears and talk about the topping process. Topping, these are tobacco flavors that are going to have, you know, more. When you pick up your blend of, you know, let's say the three cherry from McClelland, or gosh, I don't know, just something crazy aromatic. I'm looking at the 10 section over here, like Moon Trance CAO tobacco, or you know, Eileen's Dream Irish Cream, or any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Some Panama Jack. We've got the Pina Colada flavor over there.
Does Panama Jack have a pina colada flavor?
It does. And you know, we talked about their mango actually.
I remember
and one of our tobacco talk.
Man,
episodes,
ever since that episode, I've been like, I see like Panama Jack just stares at me, literally stares at me whenever we do the show.
But well, you should take it home so I can stare at you at the home.
There's so many different flavors.
But then there you got to catch them all.
Well then.
But with the topping process, this is where a lot of your distinctive flavors are going to come from. Okay, so once the tobacco is blended into its final recipe, the topping or top dressing, a lot of times it's called dressing, is added, and this is going to happen in most of your aromatic tobaccos, particularly your you know heavier aromatic tobaccos. Topping, it can have a variety of flavors, and I love the process that it goes through, because a lot of these, you know, high-end blenders, think, you know, Cornell & Deal, McClelland, GLP, I mean, just some of the best blenders in our country, you know, when they put together these toppings, it is a very specific process. I mean, they are getting in their bakery, you know, that their secret kitchen, right? Oh, when no one's looking, and they are putting together all kinds of ingredients, just like, you know, they might, the chef might at your favorite five-star restaurant or something. And they are coming up with these amazing concoctions that literally involves, you know, real fruit or seeds or, you know, bakery items like chocolate or caramel, or I mean, they're using actual products like that to you know, make the flavorings that are very distinctive on your favorite aromatic tobacco. And that's the beauty of the topping process, is that, you know, you're getting this from maybe real oranges or real lemons or real, you know, real cinnamon sticks or something like that. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, like, you know, it's you think of that kitchen mentality, especially because of all the, you know, the flavoring that's involved, but I mean, to some extent, it's the combination of a kitchen and a chemistry set, right?
Yeah, no,
like,
that's right.
Because in order to like to get something down to its flavor, we actually in Jackson every Wednesday there's a group that gets together for this thing called 1 Million Cups, and it's like all these different you know, business people. A lot of times it's technology, but that's, it can cool. be anybody yeah. that's doing business. And there's this guy recently who came by. He's very particular about yeast. Like, he cultivates a lot of yeast for beer makers, like for small batch.
I'm just really into yeast.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing.
I mean, that's his thing. That's great.
It's important as part of the process.
If you make beer or bread, for that matter.
But yeah, he was talking about specifically, like, if you want, you know, you've got these, like, you know, craft breweries and like these small batch beer makers and such that are looking for like very unique flavors that have to be cultivated at the yeast level, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And so, you know, he was talking about the process, and as he defined the flavors and going out and finding like these fruits, like he went to like Africa and found this very like hard to get to fruit and cultivated this yeast and then tried to get like a patent on it as well. It was
interesting.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, it starts off like talking kitchen, but then by the time you get to the final product, it goes chemistry. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
It's fascinating.
It's a strange hybrid, and I think, of course, pipe tobacco embodies that well. You know, and you know, in this episode, we're not even talking about the things that they, you know, do to help a tobacco stay moist in the can, or you know, stay fresh over time, or any of that kind of stuff. You know, we're just talking about the flavoring, you know, process. And so there's a whole lot of science that goes into this. But, you know, at this point in the process, we are talking about getting in the kitchen. And so a lot of times in the topping process, have you ever made a mint julep, Bo?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you know, with a mint julep, it requires, any good Southern gentleman has been drinking a mint julep.
Accurate on all accounts.
On all accounts, right? and with a mint julep, you have to make a simple syrup, right? Mm-hmm. So you're mixing maybe Four Roses bourbon, or maybe you know, your other favorite whiskey with some crushed up mint and a nice simple syrup. And
talking
so,
mint and bourbon, I am so there.
I'm in, right? I'm totally in. And sugar water, yeah.
Woo!
But you know, the syrup is kind of a nice way in order to, you know, apply the flavoring process, or apply these flavors that you've kind of concocted to the tobacco, to make sure that it sticks on there, that it's very, you know, it permeates the tobacco, that it's going to stay there and not evaporate or anything like that. So mm-hmm. oftentimes a simple syrup is produced, and then they kind of make a brew. They kind of get this syrup going, and then they add a bunch of flavors to it. You know, they might add, you know, think of like a big strainer that has, you know, things like oranges and cherries and lemons and cinnamon sticks and peppermint. I mean, literally yeah. anything you could imagine. You know, a lot of those things go into the actual simple syrup that they're kind of producing here. A lot of times alcohol is involved, and alcohol is great because what happens is it lets the flavor impart to the tobacco. But over time, the alcohol just evaporates, and so you're not left with this, you know, kind of drunken, you know, tobacco. Although, you know, sometimes that would be nice.
But
you've got this tobacco that, you know, is actually flavored with the ingredients, but you know, the actual alcohol content evaporates off. So it tends to be just really nice. But again, this portion is where you're going to get all those really awesome, crazy flavors. There's a really neat YouTube video that you can watch on this, and our friend Jeremy Reeves, who's the master blender at Cornell and Deal.
Yeah, big shout out to Jeremy.
Love Jeremy. good friend and just an incredible guy, super thoughtful person, and a good, obviously a great blender. But Jeremy actually produced a video of kind of a blending or a, you know, making a top dressing like this. I think it was last year at some point, but or maybe a year before that. It's been within the last few years. You can find it on YouTube on Cornell and Deal's channel. But it's really cool how he actually shows going in and, you know, producing some of the top dressing for one of their tobaccos. And you know, this is something that's not rocket science. I mean, you can even do it at your house. You know, it's kind of neat. Yeah.
So, and by the way, Jeremy, rock star in the industry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think has a long future ahead of him. I mean, you know, Cornell and Deal, they are just, you know, it's like Baskin Robbins 31 flavors, right? You go in, you literally, except with Cornell and Deal, it's like, you know, 431 flavors,
right.
Or maybe 831 flavors. You know, every other week they're coming out with something just awesome and exciting, and you know, they've kind of mastered this small batch process. Well, they'll crank out some really cool, unique flavors. You know, there might be 800 tins of it, and then when it's gone, it's just gone. You know, and we love that, and I think Jeremy is kind of the king at pushing the envelope with those interesting, unique flavors. So big shout out to him and the great folks at Cornell and Deal. But
absolutely.
Anyway, so you've got, you know, this kind of these kind of two processes: the casing point, which is kind of to round off those hard edges, again, kind of give the tobacco kind of the characteristics overall that you want it to have, some softness, take off maybe any harshness or bitterness that might come from the, you know, general tobacco profile itself.
I mean, would that be considered bringing out or maybe accentuating the flavor of the tobacco itself?
You know, I think to some degree,
okay.
I mean, you are altering the flavor of the tobacco to some degree, but I think it is, it may be more akin to bringing out the elements of the tobacco that you want to shine,
sure,
rather than the elements that you want to, you know, it distract, that would distract from that.
Does
that make sense?
Maybe salt and pepper on the steak.
Yeah.
It doesn't get in the way of the steak flavor per se, but it obviously does add something to the experience.
Yeah, you're accenting pieces of this.
You're not drenching it in Worcestershire.
No, that's it. That's exactly right.
Got it.
So, you know, it's interesting. A lot of folks, you know, they think of, okay, well, I smoke non-aromatics, so how is this... How does this apply to me at all, right?
We've got a lot of
listeners that don't smoke aromatic tobaccos, and you know, and they think, well, you know, I don't even smoke products that are cased or topped. And what's interesting, and I love our friend.
That's not the way they're saying it. You know, they're saying like, no, I don't even smoke this. Aromatics, really.
Aromatic tobaccos. Kafal. But, you know, yeah, they said it just like that.
Just like that.
But, you know, a lot of folks think that, you know, this doesn't really apply to any of the tobaccos that they smoke because they only smoke, you know, unflavored tobaccos. But what's interesting, and our friend Greg Peace, who is the Greg Peace behind GL Peace Tobacco.
Another rock star.
Another rock star and an amazing blender in his own right, which has some really sophisticated blends out there. I really encourage y'all to look at the things he's created. But, you know, but Greg has written extensively about the casing and topping process and how these flavorings are lurking everywhere, literally everywhere. I mean, in places that you wouldn't necessarily expect, even your quote unquote non-aromatic tobacco. And so, you know, that's why nowadays it's kind of hard to look at a tin of tobacco and say, you know, and just make two piles, right? Aromatic, non-aromatic, aromatic, non-aromatic. You know, there's a lot of nuance there, and you know, maybe your favorite non-aromatic, you know, quote unquote non-aromatic tobacco, we put it firmly in the non-aromatic camp, but there's some flavorings going on there. There's some things that are changing, you know, the constituent flavor of the flavor of the constituent leaves, you know, maybe to round off those harsh edges, or maybe to, you know, maybe just one of the leaves is topped in the entire mixture, and then that one topped leaf is added to the rest of the tobaccos. There's all kinds of interesting things going on here. I think my favorite example of that is that Scottish Mixture by Mac Baron is considered an aromatic tobacco. And that's always fascinated me, because when I smoke Scottish Mixture, to me, that tastes like a, you know, non-aromatic kind of Virginia burley complex mixture. It is a great...
It's a tobacco-tobacco
It's
right
a tobacco-tobacco. Yeah. It's a great workhorse tobacco. It's one of those things you can smoke all day, every day, and not get sick of.
Mm-hmm.
But it is technically considered an aromatic tobacco, and that's because, you know, there's enough going on in Scottish mixture where they've kind of monkeyed with some of those leaves just to give it some smoother edges on there. And so, you know, even your favorite non-aromatic tobacco might... You know, might technically, you know, have some aromatic components in it. So something to think about. Something
take
to think about.
That, snobs.
Yeah.
which we know snobs are not listening, because of course if you're listening right now,
and
you're
I'm
not
certainly
a snob.
Not a snob. No. I never make myself like I'm better than
we are so better than those snobs.
As
out
I smoke
there.
My Castello. No, you know my humility because I'm drinking this, you know, Boodle stuff. So anyway, no. I'm just kidding. I'm proud of my humility, but
you're very humble about it.
So the cool thing about this, and this is kind of where we'll leave it tonight, but the cool thing about this is, you know, with the topping process and the not necessarily the casing process, but the topping process, you can kind of do some of this stuff at home, actually, which is kind of fun. You know, we've had customers and listeners that have experimented themselves with flavoring their own tobacco. And this might be as simple as, you know, getting your favorite whiskey and just dousing your, you know, a tobacco in that whiskey. Like, let's say you took this bottle of Four Roses and, you know, sprayed a whole bunch of it on maybe a Burley or a Cavendish or something of that nature, and let it sit for a bit, dry out. Maybe spray some more on it, toss it, and just see what happens. You can go, you know, as simple as that. You can actually, you know, buy, you know, some unflavored Cavendish. Actually, Cornell and Deal produces a great unflavored Cavendish, or maybe a straight Burley, like, you know, from the folks at McClelland or something, just an unflavored Burley, and take these tobaccos and actually kind of, you know, fidget, you know, with them and make your own syrup, and, you know, and actually, you know, a lot of folks, what they've done is they have taken some of these, you know, incredible baking items, or maybe even cut up cherries or oranges or things like that, actually put them in like a coffee filter and boiled them in a syrup there for a while. I mean, you can do these kinds of things and then apply them to the tobacco and just see what happens.
We're not necessarily advocating for that. I mean, you know, I'm just envisioning somebody like trying to top their tobacco in vodka and then later trying to smoke it and think it erupted into fire.
We don't want this to turn into like a meth lab,
right? Exactly. That's but, right. But breaking Squire. Yeah,
now, again, you know, this is something just fun to do on the side. This is not something that you're going to produce a bunch of. And obviously, you want to be really careful with this kind of thing, because, you know, what one thing the big guys have that you don't have in your kitchen are a lot of things that can help fight mold on tobacco, or, you know, keep tobacco moist for a long period of time. Those are things that you don't necessarily, you know, have readily available, you know, food grade ways to combat, you know, mold in a tobacco or something. So, you know, if you do any of this kind of stuff, you know, make a little batch of it and, you know, let it dry out, you know, smoke it and enjoy it. But, you know, this is probably not something that if you do try to flavor your own tobacco, you're going to want to sit on for a really long period of time, if that makes sense. So just a little note to the word to the wise there.
Yeah, the hobbyist.
Yeah.
You know, people try to find flavors in a lot of different ways. You know, you talk about listeners, you know, who experiment with casing and topping, that sort of thing. And, you know, obviously, man, I feel like I've learned a lot here. But let me tell you about somebody, a listener that we have that decided to get a little experimental this week in terms of trying to define flavors of his own.
Oh, we're pivoting here.
Oh, is that all right?
That's great.
Okay.
I thought we actually, you know what, I sensed that we were pivoting, and I thought we were about to talk about Missouri Meerschaum.
Well, but
which
but,
we will at some point.
No, that's a great thing. What I'm about to say is unfortunately
you
a
were
very...
about to do it so flawlessly though that I. I thought you were leading me down that trail, and you actually got me. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah,
So there was an experiment going.
Our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, I would hate to even bring them into what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say is probably one of the most offensive stories that I think you'll ever hear on Country Squire Radio.
Gosh, is this safe for work?
To date.
Okay.
Barely.
Okay.
You know what?
Okay.
Barely. So I'm sitting at the computer, or my phone, whatever it is, you know, the internet, that you get the internet on so many devices these days, at some point last week, and I get a tweet from a friend of the show, club member, someone who you and I have dined with, have drunken with, have yeah. gotten drunken with.
Have drunken with.
Mark VV. Shout out to Mark VV.
Oh, yeah, Mark. That's right.
And you know, I've got nothing but love for Mark VV up until, ladies and gentlemen, what occurred this week. Now, of course, you know, you mentioned at the top of the show.
Did he run over your dog or something?
You know, I wish he had. It's not true.
That's horrible.
That is horrible. I love Isley. Isley, if you're listening, how?
You know what? I wish he had.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here's the thing. So I get a tweet in from Mark VV. Now, you mentioned, obviously, at the top of the show, some of the amazing, amazing blends that you've been coming out with here at the Country Squire. Some amazing things to come as well. But,
yeah, sure.
What has some people have called God's gift to the tobacco industry, the White Rose.
That's right.
The White Rose, of course, a
God's
blend.
Gift to the tobacco industry. Exactly.
Some people have called it that.
No, that's some people.
Some people have. And here's the deal. Of course, the White Rose is an amazing tobacco, honey flavored. I mean, you know, that you talk about, that is a difficult flavor to pull off in the tobacco world. And, and somehow the genius sitting next to me right here.
Oh, we worked hard at it.
I mean, you don't know how it happened per se. Just was it divine intervention? I hesitate to say. But regardless, you've got the White Rose, amazing pipe tobacco. But you also, you know, we talked about it. The reason that even exists, in part, is to help support the show, so be sure to check it out. But the other thing is to really act as a counter to a horrid.
Just kind of heretical, just, you know, abomination of blend.
You know, I mean, it's delicious, but... Right. It is unfortunately named Lancaster. And of course, you know, right. War of the Roses, this is your first episode.
We've gone into this, you know, ad infinitum.
Ad infinitum. Of course, so you've got Lancaster, you've got White Rose. Mark VV, he tweets me last week. He doesn't talk in this video. This is how sinister this is. He just, the video current turns on and he shows two jars. One is White Rose, the other is Lancaster. He takes a pinch of White Rose. It's hard for me to even talk about this, honestly. He takes a pinch of White Rose, he puts it in a bowl, he takes a pinch of Lancaster, and you know, he should have thrown it in the trash, but do you know what he did with that pinch of Lancaster?
What, did he eat it?
No, I wish he would have choked, but no! He mixed it with the White Rose.
Oh, he put them together!
He put them together. He mixed them together as if they were the daughter of,
I can't wait
Edward,
for this analogy.
Richard, as if they were Richard's daughter and whoever the Lancaster guy that she married was.
History lesson from Bo York.
Yeah, that's doesn't need to come from me. Point being, this abomination of tobaccos, which...
So he kind of made this, like, you know, thing, like this terrible concoction, almost this Frankenstein type blend.
When I hear...
Like he mixed these two, like, almost oil and water kind of things, but...
I mean, it's honey and caramel. So, I mean, like, you know, you got, I don't know what he was thinking. I know what he was thinking, and it's shame on you, sir. That's all I'll say, actually.
Did he say how it came out?
I think he regretted it.
You know, because that is how we got the Tudors, right?
Exactly.
That is how we got the Tudors, yeah. So a mixing of the roses. So, yeah, hey, interesting.
Well,
yeah.
Mark
has done his own experimenting in his own little chem lab and, you know, it supposedly has lived to tell about it.
Well, I'll
say this.
He
hasn't been very active tonight, but supposedly has lived to tell about
it. He knew that the harshness was coming, so he's been intentionally sitting out the memes this evening. But I will say this, that's the wrong way to experiment with various blends together. But hey, if you want to get various blends mix them together,
the right
try some
to,
different
though.
Things. You know, I'm saying you can mix some White Rose with some stuff, just not that Lancaster. Anything else, that's a great thing to do. But while you're challenging all of these different flavors and components of various tobaccos together, as you are finding this one has this casing, this one has this topping, you want to mix it together, you probably don't want to mix them together in, you know, your Perique pipe. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
that
makes sense.
The way to go.
It makes sense.
You want a pipe that's going to be a clean smoke every single time, that's a great pipe for sampling various tobaccos and enjoying them to their fullest. And of course, you cannot find better pipes to do so than the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. Missouri Meerschaum, of course, an American legend which makes just incredible corn cob pipes. These are pipes that are all crafted very finely. Some of the designs and models go back literally 100 years. But these are great high quality pipes that are incredibly affordable and allow you the opportunity to have a pure smoke for that first time with a tobacco that you're just really interested in tasting the purest form of the leaf itself. So if you've got a tobacco that maybe you're picking out off the shelf that is a topping that's of real interest to you, or something that is kind of unique, and you're like, man, I'm so excited about this, but I don't know what to smoke it in to get the most pure form of its flavor, man, Missouri Meerschaum is going to make the pipe for you.
Absolutely. And the great thing is that, with the pipes that they have, it's not just, a utility pipe. I mean, you can look pretty sweet while you're doing it. We referenced this pipe so many times, and it's because it's one of my favorites. But given the fact that we refer to mint juleps this evening, I think we'll have to make mention of the Contra Gentleman.
Oh, the old Contra Gentleman. That's right. One of the best selling Missouri Meerschaum pipes, actually, certainly at the Country Squire. Missouri Meerschaum, the Country Gentleman, it's a real classic shaped pipe. But what people like about it is it's a generous sized bowl. It comes in a bent and a straight variety. But the Country Gentleman, it has a lot of folks are really taken by the subtle black stain that has been partially sanded off. It's just a really kind of a bicolor look there, and so it's just a really really sharp pipe, one of those that you can pull out, and people won't be like a corncob pipe; they'll be like, a corncob pipe.
Yeah,
I can get on board with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a great shape, feels good in your hand, and has a generous bowl. And we certainly encourage everyone to add a Missouri Meerschaum Country Gentleman to their collection.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from Gene. Gene actually joining us tonight. As his first live show.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Gene.
What's up, Gene?
Come on in, bud.
We see, like, I always love, like, the first listener live show experience, because some of the tweets come in by, like, what do I got myself into? You know what I mean? Like,
what have I done?
We see you, Gene. We've got a few folks actually joining us for the first time on the live
show.
That's
great.
So welcome. But yeah, shout out to Gene, who writes in, says, does crumble cake do anything to enhance the flavor?
Yeah.
He says he's usually a ribbon person, and I gotta say, so am I.
Yeah. No, crumble cake is great. It does. I think what's most fun about crumble cake, it works really good where you've got some leaves that are dry and some leaves that are wet, and they start kind of playing together. And so, when all this pressure is put on this tobacco, and let's say you've got a leaf of Burley that's right next to a leaf of Perique, all that pressure in the tobacco, especially if you let it sit there for a while, it's going to it'll change the characteristics of it, particularly with some age. Some age, you've got complex reactions going on with the sugars that are in these tobaccos, and I think the pressure can really help with that.
It's so, like it's together. They've got all that age there. It's like they're reunited, wow. And it feels so good.
I thought we were gonna get out of the episode without Bo singing.
Perique and Burley smoking like they should. That's what this question's about.
Why did I have to run out of ice? Because I want to refill. I want to refill so bad. It's terrible. Someone help me. Let's quickly define crumble cake. So you've got a crumble cake and a plug are different types of tobacco, right? So a crumble cake is the tobacco. Let's say we're sitting at the tobacco bar here at the Country Squire. Behind Bo and I are the several jars of tobacco. If you're watching live, you can see them behind me. And a crumble cake would be like me taking what's in one of these jars and then applying a lot of pressure to it. So you've got kind of a ribbon cut tobacco or a cube cut tobacco, a shag tobacco, something of this nature, and or maybe even a ready rub tobacco, and you've put a lot of pressure on it so that it kind of sticks together, and the flavors can marry and all that. You can do a crumble cake easily at home with your favorite tobaccos. A plug tobacco is different, because a plug tobacco is actually kind of like a crumble cake, but it's made with whole leaf.
Yeah,
and so you've got the whole leaves of tobacco. That are pressed into a giant brick, and so think of I'm trying to think the best way to describe it. Like when you buy, for instance, a tin of one of our favorites, or like Golden Sliced, for instance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which we talk about a lot in the shop, made by our friends at STG.
Delicious.
When you look at a slice of Orlik, you know, the flake of Orlik, you're looking at a cross section of that plug. You're looking at a piece of plug tobacco that has been cut. Okay, if you bought the plug, you would actually get a little brick of the whole plug.
Mm-hmm.
A crumble cake is different in that a crumble cake is a ribbon cut or a shredded tobacco. It's a tobacco that's been taken from, you know, just any kind of, you know, already torn apart, ready rub type of thing, and then put into a brick or a kind of a brownie form. And so anyway, just some nuances there. But yeah, I think the crumble cake can add a lot to the tobacco, particularly if you're willing to give it some time to marry up. Some age on a crumble cake really is nice. Yep.
That's a great question, Gene. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, real good
that
question, yeah.
And hey, if you got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in, Country Squire Radio, our show at countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show at countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire question!
Ow!
All right, this comes in from St. Bubbles, who's a member over at thispipelife.com.
St. Bubbles?
You gotta love it, man.
What is his feast day? Do you know?
St.
Bubbles.
Saint of tidying up, I think.
Is that what it is?
Something like that.
Okay, St. Bubbles. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Of course, thispipelife.com, an amazing online community. Stay tuned for a moment here to hear more. Here we go. Quick five questions. Are you ready?
I'm going to get a St. Bubbles amulet to hang up at the Squire. Maybe he's this patron saint of tobacconists.
I think
there is a... I actually did research on this one time.
Really?
I think the patron saint of tobacco, maybe, is a guy... You know, I'm not Catholic, but I think it's a guy named St. Anthony Claret, if I'm remembering correctly.
Interesting.
And he was a priest in Cuba.
Wow,
that would make some sense. Yeah, it would. Someone should check me on that. But I think that's a thing.
My grandmother, and my grandfather is super Catholic, like
a Shiite Catholic.
Dude, he's super like he was. He knew Mother Teresa, like he was like you know hardcore, and still is. He's still kicking it.
Right.
My grandmother, his wife, has a book of saints, like a big book of saints, like saints you've never even heard of.
I bet that guy's in there.
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look it up. All right. So, but our very own St. Bubbles from thispipelife.com.
St. Bubbles, right?
He writes in. Ready for this?
Yep.
Golf or tennis?
Tennis.
Absolutely not.
So much more action than golf.
Well, that okay. Wait, are we talking watching or doing?
Both. That look, the worst things I've ever said. I've talked about this before all the time. The worst things I've ever said in my life have been number one. On the golf course, or number two
on the show
at the egg. No,
sorry, I'm just kidding.
At the Egg Bowl. The Egg Bowl is the annual game between Mississippi State and Ole Miss.
That's, yeah,
that Mississippi State and that other school. And the worst thing the worst things I've ever uttered on this earth that I will have to account for most on my tape reel with St. Peter is have happened during one of those two things. Golf is not good for my spirit.
I'm just gonna
tell you right now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's really bad for my spirit.
I hate golf. I mean, it's so it's so boring. And you know, I tried because my grandfather on the other side of the family, before he passed, was like he was a big golfer. Like that was like how he got his exercise in at the tail end there.
Yeah.
And I tried. I went with him, but I got to tell you, I was so bored out of my mind. I did like that you got to go to the clubhouse afterwards to get a sandwich and a little Coke. They brought it out to you.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was classy. But here's the other thing. Tennis, on the other hand, I also find extremely boring. Like, I'm just not a big tennis guy.
There's just people moving around.
Right? I mean, you could argue that's all sports, but they're just in a contained box. It's not a whole lot of running. And if I had to choose, which I guess that's what this is, I'm going to go with tennis as well.
Okay, all good. Right. Yeah, we're on the same page.
Oxford shirt or polo shirt?
Ooh.
Do you know the difference there?
Yeah, Oxford shirt is one that buttons up all the way. It's not like a dress shirt.
It's kind of like what you got now, except it doesn't have buttons that go all the way down, and you haven't buttoned the three buttons that you have at the top.
Shut up. This is a little hippie shirt. But yeah. But yeah, an Oxford shirt's like something you wear a tie with, and a polo shirt obviously is, you know, has a little collar. Probably an Oxford shirt, because it's more versatile. I can roll the sleeves up.
Yeah.
and I can or I can let the sleeves down, wear a tie, wear it with a blazer, wear it with jeans.
Yeah. You could tucked, untucked.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Oxford shirt all the way. Polo shirt's just uncomfortable. The texture's no good. mustard greens or collard greens?
Collard greens.
Yes.
Delicious.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Roses or wildflowers?
I'm going to go with wildflowers. I like the eclectic nature of wildflowers.
Well, tonight, thanks to our friend Peter, I'm enjoying four roses.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm, I got to tell you, I love flowers. I love wildflowers. I love roses as well.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a rose bush, a white rose bush, of course, that's growing on the side of our house. But whenever I go for walks, I try to pick wildflowers and bring them to my daughters. And it's always, you know, very special and that sort of thing. But because of the four roses whiskey that I am enjoying, and of course, the white rose, I've got to say roses.
Okay.
Finally, he's got Spotify or Pandora.
You know, this is hard for me because I think Pandora has better radio, and Spotify, of course, has the benefit of listening to exactly what you want when you want to. You know, if I wanted to go listen to the White Album, I can literally just go to Spotify and say White Album.
Mm.
But the radio on Spotify, I don't think is very good. I listen to more of the radio, so I'm going to have to go with Pandora.
Yeah, same for all the exact same reasons. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, thank you so
much. Great question. St. Bubbles.
Well done.
Child of the Covenant. That's right.
Absolutely. Of course, St. Bubbles is a user over there at thispipelife.com. If you haven't checked out thispipelife.com, you absolutely should. Not the least of which for the reason that you can submit quickfire questions.
That's right.
We've knocked out the first two pages of quickfire questions that we've got. We got a third page that we're about to dive into, but we need some more. So head over to thispipelife.com, join the community, and when you do, use the code CSR to register there. Now, it's absolutely free one way or the other. Don't want to lie to you and say that it's not, but here's the great thing. When you use the code CSR, it's a great way to help support this show,
and it
lets them know that you heard about it specifically on this show. So, thispipelife.com. Again, use the code CSR when you register at thispipelife.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback.
Ah.
All right, so this is great. This first one comes in from John.
That was our non-aromatic smoker saying, I'm so excited to hear about listener feedback.
All right, this first one
that
we
exquisite.
Get in from John Patrick Wolf is really great. Why don't you take that one?
Yeah, sure. He says, so John and Bo, I just had my second child this morning at 9:36 a.m.
Contacted us at soon.
Oh, my gosh. And he said we named him Briar.
Dude.
That is so cool, man. Wow.
John, man, shout out to... Look, round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, the world right now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Welcome, Briar.
Welcome, Briar. Awesome. Welcome, Briar.
Shout out to John, man.
And what a solid name, Briar Wolf. Briar Wolf? Dude, that kid's going to be a heartbreaker.
He's going to be doing well. Well done, John.
John Patrick, he says, I thought you two would be appreciative to know that he is so comforted by people talking that he has a hard time sleeping this evening in quiet and stillness. So now he is fast asleep, thanks to you two southern gentlemen, while my awesome wife finally sleeps as well. I hope his first words aren't anything that he learned from us.
But we were some of the first
accent.
Voices.
That
Briar Wolf has ever heard.
That Briar Wolf has said. No, you're right.
But there's members of his family that haven't even seen him yet.
Wow. Why? That's right. No, that's you're onto something there.
All right. So let's forget the fact that I sang Reunited earlier, and maybe we should sing Hush, Little Briar, Don't Cry Too Loud.
Don't be terrified.
I can't remember all the songs.
I just know, I hope we haven't scarred the kid for life. There's some great therapists out there. He's got a bright future. He goes on to say, so thank you for all you do for the pipe community, keeping me entertained and for helping my newborn Briar, my little block. y'all are appreciated from John Patrick. Man, dude, thank you so much, and congrats on your beautiful addition to your new family.
Absolutely.
To your growing family.
Big shout out to you, John, and of course to your wife and your newborn. That's awesome.
That's
man.
Right. That's right.
Well, thank y'all so much for whenever we get this feedback in, it's so huge. Although that one it probably has now got a new special place.
That's
all things considered.
That's pretty high on the list. You
absolutely.
Know, we've had a lot of firsts, but I don't know that we've
second.
I don't know if we've lulled a newborn to sleep yet. Yeah.
Not with any kind of record proof, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if you've got some feedback for us, you know, one of the great ways to do it is head over to iTunes and write us a review. If you've never done so before, it's a great way to help out the show. It doesn't cost you a dime to do it. By the way, if you don't mind spending a few dimes to help out support the show, we encourage you to become a patron or even go the full route and become a club member. Either way, you can do so by joining the club at CountrySquireRadio.com. Click the Join the Club button right there.
That's right.
You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us at Squire Radio on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, all that information and more can be found at Country Squire Radio, where you can tune into the live show happening on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, all happening at CountrySquireRadio.com.
You did a great job.
I do what I can.
You're just such a pro.
You know what? Yeah. You've got all this knowledge. I gotta bring something to the table.
And God knows it ain't your voice.
So, no. And my voice ain't my face.
You got a face for radio, kid. You're going
to
do great.
It's a good thing I know how to press record. Otherwise, we should be...
Sometimes you don't even do that right. I'm just kidding.
Snap. Hey, it's been years.
No, you've done well. You've done well.
Well, guys, man, John David, let's go.
This was fun, man. Yeah, absolutely. I'll see you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.